Hi.
Members
tonight?
I don't know if they're coming. I saw one out of the store with a big bag of food, and I don't.
I'm gonna guess we're gonna be three. Okay, let's give it two more minutes, gentlemen, and then we'll open. This is for Kate. Yes, can we just put that in our place? Thank you. This was a nice.
Before we start, can I ask a question? How much did the school bus proposal bring the tax down?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. We only budgeted for the banding of the bond, so banding of the notes. It's only about $40,000, so less than 1%.
The new bus, is that?
Yep.
Okay.
That's how it works, yeah. We don't pay from outright because we get 20% a year for 5 years, 20% of what our aid ratio is for 5 years. So we borrow on a one-year note every year to renew it because it's cheaper than if we banned them or did a bond for 5 years.
Ban is a bond anticipation note. Get used to the jargon. But if you use 70,000 per 1%,
yep.
That's a 0.5%, plus a little more than 0.5%. Okay, I'd like to call the regular board meeting to order. And then I would immediately like to proceed into executive session.
Okay, I'm the first one, second.
Oh, yeah.
Second.
Discussion? Any discussion?
The purpose of the...
Oh, I'm sorry. The purpose of the discussion of the meeting will be personnel and...
Collective bargaining.
Collective bargaining. Thank you. That's the term I was looking for. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Stop talking sports. I lost everything in your packet.
I got the real one. So is that a new check? That was Playground. I opened a separate account.
Oh, okay.
It's not fuchsia, it's just pink. Come on, Lester.
I had to bring a backup shirt today.
I can't believe you followed through.
I think it does. She said she talked
I ran into
about
Tony yesterday.
Yeah, Friday, I think it was.
Well, it's easy for him.
Because you have to do that report. Sorry.
Just hit me right. Push
okay.
It. Thank you.
It's a push.
I am. Just turn.
Tammy?
Okay.
You want to use the microphone?
Thank
you.
But hey, check out the account.
Are these all the same? Or is it?
Well, look at them.
Here you go.
It's happening with some regularity just by accident.
Listen up, please. This is not a church. Just sit in the front.
Oh,
sitting.
I don't think I'm quite as flashy as you, but I've got some Argyle in my arsenal. That's all I'm saying.
Did I make it enough?
Okay, we're already back in open session, so I want to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Big crowd. Really, there are seats, guys. You don't have to stand unless you really want to. Okay, I'd like to move approval of the minutes of the following meetings. April 25th, regular meeting. May 9th, the budget hearing. May 9th, the special meeting. And May 17th, the budget vote. All those in favor? I'm sorry, were there any questions or any discussion regarding these minutes? All those in favor? Aye. Okay, anyone new to this worthy gathering will realize we have two public comment sessions. I see a lot of teachers here. I hope you have something to say to us. We will have another public comment session towards the end of the meeting. Also, if you're all here to show solidarity for one or two matters, I don't think we need to hear it 20 times. Let's hear it once, and just in this, and for the sake of brevity. So I'll open it up to public discussion. Barbara.
I have a question, Mr. Keeney. I read in the paper that you hope to put the budget vote up again and lower it a little bit and take it out of maintenance and that sort of thing. I was just wondering about that, because if, unfortunately, we have to think about the worst thing that could happen is that the new proposals, the general don't get voted, or don't get passed. If you take money out of maintenance, and that's one of our most urgent priorities that we have, what happens then?
If something happens?
Yeah, if the
it creates more of a problem.
Yeah.
See, we're trying to still get to...
Thinking of worst case scenario.
Right. We're trying to get to a situation so we can have the discussion as to what to do. And if we're not going to touch staffing or program, unfortunately, that's what always happens in the past. It's always gone to maintenance.
And that's been one of the...
Oh, yeah. That's why I want to make sure that that's part of the discussion this evening. So if something happens, we have to dig deeper into the fund balance.
And my comment that goes along with that, if you take it from maintenance and grounds, whatever you call it, that's something that the public doesn't see. So they say, oh, see, they didn't really need the money. They think they do, but they don't. And everything's just fine. So sometimes I think it's...
That's why I wanted to make sure this was part of the discussion.
That it might be better to do it when it's a visit, like
sure.
You don't have the money to do such and such, where they can see it and feel it and taste it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
I'd like to make a statement on behalf of the Cambridge Faculty Association.
Please.
The Cambridge Faculty Association strongly urges the Board of Education to put forth to the community a second vote slated by New York State for June 21st, 2011, on the current 2011-12 budget proposal. I have another one too. Would you like to hear now?
Please. You've got the floor.
Okay. I have a letter I want to present to the Board of Education from the Faculty Association. Dear Superintendent Keeney and members of the Cambridge Central School District Board of Education, the Cambridge Faculty Association, in an effort to build a strong, consistent administrative team, requests and supports the appointment of Tammy Silvernell to the position of secondary principal. It is our desire that Mrs. Silvernell be given an opportunity to continue her leadership role in our high school. Thus far, she has proven herself to be a team player with the ability and desire necessary to be a strong, effective educational leader. The sudden mid-year departure of Mr. Signor has left us without any historical reference in the secondary team. The continuation of Mrs. Silvernell in her current role will provide us with the necessary foundation to promote further growth. This is a tumultuous time in education with many important changes as we move to the Common Core standards. To begin the process again will only serve to delay us in our educational mission, as well as deprive our school community of a person whom we trust and know has the potential to maintain the level of excellence in our secondary school to which we, our students, our parents, and our community have all become accustomed. Appointing two new administrators as you also fill the associate position to an already young administrative team can only bring a sense of unrest and a loss of valuable time. We strongly hope that you, as our board president, will hear, as our Board of Education, will hear our concerns and appoint Mrs. Silvernell, our probationary secondary principal, without delay. That's from our faculty association.
Thank you. We, of course, can't say anything in response, but thank you for that.
Right.
Yes.
What is the date that the site signage will be taken care of?
The site signage.
Signs of the numbers of the doors, and also.
That's part of our mini project that's in on works now and in the process of going through SED and everything. I don't have a date.
Just submitted SED. It's gonna be a few weeks. Okay. So completed by the start of school. I can't say 100% for every door in the building. Exterior signage we should be able to by the start of the school this spring.
Okay.
Got a science wing.
That's right.
Main entrance.
All right. Sorry. It's all about it. All right. I mean, I look forward to seeing it on the start of school. Seeing good progress there. Because it really is needed. Anybody else? Thank you. Constructive comments. And remember, there's another public comment session towards the end of the meeting if anything we've said riles anybody. Superintendent administrator reports.
I get to go first because I brought company. I will go over my report and I will just do a couple highlights. Kindergarten screening is tomorrow. It starts tomorrow for 3 days. Highlight. Also, the end of the year schedule for the elementary school on Thursday, June 23rd, there will be a half day and dismissal will be at 11:30. Friday, June 24th, there will be no school. A thank you to the PTP for providing the numerous student field trips that are ongoing now and in through June, as well as for Teacher Appreciation Week. And then I'm going to turn this over to Mrs. Sundquist based on a request made by.
But I have another request first. Can you explain the summer reading program?
I can explain the summer reading program. The summer reading program has been ongoing for a number of years. Students who are in AIS reading and students who are special education students are invited every year. It's voluntary. We do not provide transportation, so parents have to provide transportation for their own children. It's 3 days a week. It's a small group. And the goal of the summer reading program is to prevent regression and to keep those kids, especially the neediest kids, reading at the level that they left at.
Thank you.
Okay. And based on your request last board meeting, I had explained composer Sandy Wilbur had written a song called We the People, and Malachi Best, who is a sixth grade student here, was invited to her recording studio to record the rap piece of the song, and Dottie had brought the track to share with us.
Good.
So, Mrs. Sundquist.
I just wanted to begin by saying, board members, administrators, faculty members, and community, have you ever had a dream when you were 12 years old? Maybe it was to simply pass a spelling test. Maybe you were older and you wanted to just catch that pass of a football game, win the game. We have a 12-year-old who loves to rap. He was born rapping. So when Sandy Best, a composer from New York City publisher, approached me and said, do you have anybody who could fill the bill? At just the person. And on April 30th, she took me to Wilmington, Vermont. Before we get to Wilmington, though, there were some systems in place right here in Cambridge that made it all happen. We had Nurse Corbin, we had Randy Sika, we had Vince Canini, we had Colleen Lester, we had Carl Flint, Dee Seeley, a host of people who were behind Malachi all the way. And this is a little snip of what happened on April 30th, and Dee accompanied me on this momentous occasion. And I don't know, just hit the left side.
this, he wore it on Monday, not the following day. I'm going to split the head. Somewhere around here. There we go. There's a videographer, and he's getting, he's sending footage for YouTube. Maple Street School. They're third graders from Maple Street in Manchester. They were selected by Sandy, and he's about ready to wrap, so I won't interrupt.
Participated through Oshkosh Clothing Company to create 1,000 origami cranes, and the money that was raised from that went to relief for Japan and the earthquake and tsunami victims. And they had almost met their goal. They were counting the cranes, and they were, I think, at 978, and Amelia Boyd came running to the office and asked for an all call for anybody who could fold paper. So they made it. We're planning the 6th to 7th grade transition, both the things that are happening at the end of the school year this year, as well as some things that I'd like to do a little bit differently for our incoming 7th graders. I'd like to have their schedules out a little bit earlier and have walkthroughs so that they have some time to get their things in the lockers, walk the building, walk their schedule, and have a little bit of time to acclimate before the rest of the students get their schedules and descend on the building. June testing information, Mr. Boquette's been working on the June test schedule. That information will be mailed home. We will also post it on the website. In the mailing, we'll highlight when lunches are available, transportation, as well as the exam schedule itself. And we talked about today also informing parents of
some of the traditionally offered August exams that are not going to be offered this year. We're, the state has cut back in offerings in chemistry regions for August, as well as Algebra 2 trigonometry. So we just want to make sure that folks are aware that those things are not going to be available for a retake, possibly in August. And to put extra emphasis on the review classes now.
There's three languages that they did away with Regents completely, or just
right.
January? They're gone.
They're gone. Actually, the proposal is right now to do away with all Regents in foreign language, in regardless of language, just as they did with the proficiency exams at the eighth grade level. On a brighter note, we have a student, Eric Baker, who was, as part of his BOCES program, went to a state-level competition in forestry, placed first, and in October will be going to a national competition in Indianapolis, and he got over $21,000 in scholarship monies due to his performance at that competition.
Is that a typo?
No, $21,000. Wow. Yeah. He's very excited about going to Indianapolis. Wondering how many trees there are going to be for him available there, but before I turn it over to Mr. Roquette, just to highlight some of the upcoming events. We still have a couple more state assessments hanging out there, the performance in science and also the written in science for eighth graders, the senior field trip, the start of local and Regents exams, and then senior awards night and graduation night. So those events are coming up. And now I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Boquette, who's going to give an overview of some projections for the Albany Business Review rankings.
I was asked, as we start thinking about the future and for next year, to start assessing our programs and evaluating our programs. And there's numerous ways we do that. And one of the tools that we use to evaluate the programs is data analysis of the Capital District business review and school report cards. I'm going to keep it very brief. I went through a lot of the statistics, and basically what we use this assessment for is to help ourselves understand where we need to help improve our programs, allocate resources, improve trainings, curriculum development, and personnel maneuvers and stuff like that for the upcoming year. So in order to use the data analysis to do this, we have to have something to compare with. So what we did was we took the top 30 highly performing schools in last year's business review and compared the data between us and those schools. In order for it to be valid, we obviously could only compare data in subjects in which all students take those examinations. So without any further ado, like I said, I'm going to keep it very brief. What ended up happening is using the combined percentage of Cambridge and junior senior high students who earned a New York State Regents and or an Advanced Regents diploma, we again rank in the top 20 in Capital District Schools, ranking 16th in our Advanced Regents diploma and Regents diploma rate. And if I don't know if you received this packet, but I did put
it was in your folder that I gave you.
Yep. I did put a graph showing where we stand as far as other schools go in that situation. Also, I went through and looked at our 7th and 8th grade assessments. Again, we ranked in the top 20 there. We ranked 17th in the middle school area. What this basically does is tells us where we are in comparison to other highly performing schools and helps us realize the areas that we're strong in and the areas that we need improvement in. Some of the highlights were we, as far as the Regents diploma rate, 99% of Cambridge students received a Regents diploma or higher, which placed us number one in that category. And our 8th grade science students, 95% of them received a passing grade or higher, which placed us 6th in that category. Those are the basic highlights. There's a ton of statistics out there. Basically, what we've learned is that when this year's business review comes out, we will still be a top 20 school. And, there are some things we don't know about the formula. where they go with demographics and stuff like that, so it's hard to say exactly where we are, but I would guess somewhere in that 16 to 17 ranking.
I don't know if you know the answer, but I'm going to just check out who they call. How do you go in 1 year from a 45 to a 29 and a 45 to a 27?
In
rankings, they went either, you could use either area, they jumped both from 45s into the 20s.
The last year's business review ranking is the whole school ranking.
Is a
45. This is just, in this case, a 29 would be their high school diploma. So there's many things that go into that, that whole school ranking, high school rank, elementary school rank, middle school rank, demographic, like money you spend per student, student to teacher ratio. There's a bunch of different things like that. So they could come out still somewhere near the 45. All this is saying is that they're advanced in that category, they're 29.
Okay, but overall, so we're still...
Part of this is speculation here, but I would assume when this business report comes out, we will still be in the top 20, which I think is great. And if you look at the list, it's one of the few small schools that are going to be up in that top 20 area.
Do you have any idea what the per pupil expenditure is in the schools above us versus the school below us?
I'm not sure. I could look into it. I don't know where I'm going to find that accurately, but it should be in last year's business review, so I could be able to go through and find that. Yeah, I will. Any other questions? Thank you.
I have the budget condition of accounts that I've handed out, and you notice I've changed the description, so I hope it meets the needs. And that people were commenting how they couldn't quite follow it. So I hope everyone's happy with that. Tedious work, but nevertheless. I'll entertain any questions about the treasurer's report, if anyone has any. It's the end of April. So we just have one of our first state aid payments coming in. Everything's on track. No big surprises, no big concerns at this point.
I have a question. Page 3-4, which is the statement of revenue for the 10 months ending April 30th. Excess cost aid. I mean, looks like we've come out $840,000 ahead. What does that mean?
When they give us most of it, but for budget purposes, is up above as a set aside in the basic formula. But when it comes in, then it's actually labeled excess cost. So I put it in with the excess cost. When you first do your budget, you don't know what that number is.
Okay.
So it kind of falls out through time.
So it's not extra money?
No, it's not, unfortunately.
It falls as part of the total. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. I thought there was some rational explanation.
No, that'd be nice, though. Yeah. But... yeah.
Okay.
That's it for now. When we get to the end in the agenda, we'll have more.
Okay. Board reports. We'll start down the end of the table. Deb?
Let's see. First, I would like to congratulate Lillian Harrington as a new board member. I'm sure you'll do well. Thank you for replacing me. Also, I'm glad to hear that our buses proposal passed. Sad to hear about our budget, but we'll be addressing that later. That's all I have.
Congratulations, Lillian. Welcome on the board. I'm sorry to see Debbie go because Debbie's one of my former students and I think she's done a nice job over the years that she's been on the board. And I'm sure she'll stay connected in one way or another with the school. I'd like to thank four of the teachers who are here tonight. It's Heidi and Christy and Molly and Brenda. Brenda may not be here, but we had a little environmental education class up at Lake Lauderdale this year with all the kindergartners last week. And we managed to avoid the raindrops for one day and took the whole shooting match up there and we had a great day. Managed to pick up a few ticks, though, didn't we? Tomorrow we start all of the second grade up there. Now, these lesson plans that we do are based on the New York State standards and classification and ecology. And the week after that, it'll be the fifth graders, and they'll do a real overview of all the ecological principles that they're supposed to be teaching in the classroom. It's a lot more engaging for kids to do this outdoors than it is from the cold pages of a textbook. Now, Edith is over there smiling, but she'll remember one day when Mr. Tully and I were down by the big oak tree on the field, and all of her little bumpkins were running around the field, and Mr. Tully and I said, come on, kids, come over here and help us pick up acorns. And James and Edith were up there, hey, where are our kids? Couldn't get them to come back.
We're supposed to be running
the outdoors. The outdoors is a magnificent way to make that connection between the environment and children. And at this age, in elementary school, this is where it's all at. This is where the interest really begins. And I applaud those teachers for really taking the bull by the horns and doing such a really great job for those kids. They really do. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard. Paul?
I want to add my thanks to Deb and add my congratulations to Lillian. And I would also like to thank the faculty for coming in. It's very heartening to see that you guys are here, especially when the motive for coming in seems to be the budget. The reason it's heartening is because I really believe that we, the board, and you, the teachers, really have to work together through mutual respect, trust, and integrity to put together a budget that hopefully won't get turned down next year. So I want to thank you for that, and I look forward to working with you guys.
And just to repeat the same thing, condolences to Deb.
Thank you.
And congratulations, Lillian. Lillian, put you to the task real soon, a couple of months. I don't know how many of you people saw the paper this morning, but a longtime employee of our school district died, Eleanor Clare. Elementary secretary for 20 years, I think, is what the paper said. It's probably close to being correct. So she was one of the first people I met moving into Cambridge, so I'm sorry to hear that she's gone. Last week, the night before the budget vote, the board had a goals setting session, basically a two-hour BS session, but we got a lot accomplished. The goals will become public information once we turn them into real English. Right now they're still notes, but they dealt with a whole range of things, including community relations, the committee structure, and I'm going to try and squelch a rumor before we get started. One of the things we talked about was consolidation of services and other things with other school districts, and we have asked Mr. Canini to approach other school boards, and two members of our school board will be approaching other school boards informally to find out if there's any possibility of consolidation. We're not just talking services, we're talking buildings. I just want to impress on everybody, this is a serious time. This is not games anymore. This is serious budget crunch. The state is not going to get better in a year, and we have to be serious about what happens. So if you hear of board members talking to other boards from your friends in other towns, it's true. It's going to be happening. And I don't know the exact schedule. It's all informal at this point. I hope I squelched a rumor. Okay, that's it for me. We have no old business, so we move on to new business. I'd like to move approval of the consent agenda with regards to personnel appointments and recommendations, and the consent agenda with regard to new business.
Second.
Any discussion? I see we have a staff member who's taking maternity leave. I wish her a healthy delivery and a happy child. All those in favor?
Aye.
Nobody opposed. Recommend the board approve the following resolution to approve changes for order 1-02 from NEP Glass for the Excel project in the amount of $46,180. I move for discussion. Second?
Second.
What is that about?
Bud can probably explain it better than myself.
What is the $46,000?
The change order.
It's the horizontal siding. We have new windows going up second floor and first floor. That horizontal siding is for new pre-finished siding. It's an upgrade from the specifications. It was a savings based on what we requested in design early, and we basically back to about par now with the cost of that change.
Good.
But it looked much better with new windows and new siding. It's pre-finished, 25-year warranty on the finish, so that we won't have peeling paint. that problem over there.
Good. But we're within budget as well.
We're within budget.
Good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Part of the concern with this was during SHPO, we have to stay with the same basic design. When we change the design, they put vertical between the windows. We can't have that because it would be violating SHPO. So it's not as much of an expense as less of a savings from the original change order.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Recommend approval of the following resolution to approve change for order 2-02 from General Mechanical for the Excel project in the amount of $5,108.
Second.
Second from Howard. Again, a minor change. Is it worth talking about?
I don't have the narrative with me.
Okay.
I don't know if it's off the top of my head.
Okay. It's not that big of a deal. Any discussion on the board? All those in favor?
Aye.
Recommend approve the following resolution to change the date of the June board meeting from June 27, 2011 to June 20th, 2011.
I forgot the budgetary transfers. Did you predict that one?
No, we just did that one. Just did C.
Second.
We just did C, Deb. I'm sorry, do you have another one?
You just went to the budget. I'm sorry. Never mind. I must be. Never mind.
Okay. So let me repeat it. Recommend the board approve the following resolution to change the date of the June board meeting from 27th of June to the 20th of June. Second. And for discussion, this is mainly for my benefit because I'll be traveling the week after. And there's a lot of neat, interesting stuff coming up, and I think we all have to be here if we can. Does that mean a problem for anybody at this table? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the public take note of that. It's a week earlier than scheduled. Basically, it's the last week of school, isn't it?
Before graduation.
Add to the confusion. Thank you, guys. Recommend the board approve a budgetary transfer in the amount of $27,141.98 to cover the negative balance in the fuel oil account.
Second.
Any discussion? Where is that being transferred from? Unemployment.
Unemployment. We're trying to pre-purchase, get ahead of the curve. We tapped off all the tanks, and with the savings in the unemployment, we're able to do that.
Okay. All those in favor? None opposed. Recommend the board declare the following items as surplus: an alto clarinet, a vibraphone, a contra alto clarinet, and one Yamaha sousaphone.
Second.
Any discussion? Anybody want them? All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Recommend approval of the result of the vote of last week. Recommend the board accept the result of the vote of May 17, 2011 on the 2011-12 budget, the public library proposition, the bus purchase proposition, and election of two members of the Board of Education.
Second.
I was sort of hoping you guys would parole me, but you didn't, so thank you for that. Anyway. Any discussion? We will discuss the budget. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now, recommend the board approve the following resolution to re-vote on the 21st of June on the 2011-12 budget. And where is this proposition?
Well, it's up for discussion.
It's up for discussion. Okay, so second for discussion. Okay, we're open for discussion.
The point that Barbara brought up earlier in the questions, when we were trying to come up with something that would lower the budget, we were debating whether we should go out for a second vote or go right to a contingent budget. If we do go to a contingent budget, we would have to still cut some more and probably go deeper into staff and more program. Beth and I sat, and there's another disadvantage if we go to a contingent budget. If we were to start next year, we were to be at a much lower position as opposed to if we go try to go out and get a second vote. So we sat down, and in your packets, it's 3.7. That's the one that, when I was interviewed in the paper, I had discussed certain things that would be addressed. And as Barbara pointed out, my biggest complaint here is that in the past we have gotten into the operational maintenance. Unfortunately, if we're going to cut it and not affect program or staffing, it would have to get to a situation where we would be dealing with $20,000 in operation and maintenance. So after a further discussion with Beth, after that article, there's another proposal, and I don't know if you want to address that, the one that you just handed out.
Right. In the packet, there's cuts. Well, actually, this one doesn't have the total dollar amount, but would a revised tax increase of 0.891 or 0.9%. If we don't touch equipment and buildings and grounds of the 20,000, and we don't change the special ed budget by the net effect of a couple children moving out of the district, but a change in the percentages between the county and the state, we're proposing to cut the bus purchase by $13,500. I want to thank the community for passing the buses. We can give this money back. We do not need it. As you know, this money was in the budget. In case the buses went down, we were going to purchase a minivan. Now we'll keep $5,000 in there to purchase a small bus from Hudson Falls, again, that has fewer miles and less, and is still younger than
Let me interrupt you for a second. Sorry, but I just want to make sure this, we're clear on this. We're not giving back the money that was just voted in.
No.
We're giving in money that we had budgeted as a backup.
Right.
Which we're now relieved of due to the...
Right. There was $18,500 in the budget, the general fund budget, operating budget. In the in case the buses went down, we would have to get one more small vehicle. Now we can free up those monies and put back against the tax levy.
The proposition stands the way it was.
Right.
It doesn't affect that at all. This is money that was in the budget in case the proposition went down. We purchased a vehicle last year, a vehicle that Hudson Falls was trading in, paid $3,000 for it with state aid. It's only going to cost us $750. So I contacted them again this year. They're getting rid of another smaller 20-passenger vehicle. It's a wheelchair lift and has a capability of as many as four wheelchairs if we needed that. But if we don't, we can put the seats in it and use it as a 20-passenger bus. And it's a 2003, so it still falls within the 10-mile or 10-year limit for DOT when they start having a fit. So that's, we're going to leave that in and get rid of the other one, but it's not affecting the proposition. So.
There had been concern about ridership, and talking with the transportation supervisor, Brandon Sika, the Friday late bus run will be eliminated. The ridership is very low. We're assuming savings of approximately $12,500. CDPHP, their rates, initially I was told that they were to increase 9%. About 2-3 weeks ago, I had final rates that came in at approximately 7% for a savings of approximately $21,500. And I'm hoping that there may even be more savings with movement, but it's not something that I can budget. With people coming off CDPHP going to the PPO, because the individual and two-person plan is much cheaper. And the I think the plans are pretty much comparable. That would have gives us a revised budget of $17,710,280. Savings of $47,500 with a revised tax increase of 1.15%.
On the levy.
On the levy.
And that would not touch the operation and maintenance, which is what we tried to do.
Fund balance would remain the same, the 1.1, the use of fund balance.
Any questions from my colleagues up here?
I only had one question that's not levy. So each after school bus, each day we pay, its cost is $12,500, or is it the total for the school year?
That's for the school year,
okay.
For the Friday bus. So there's five buses. We'd eliminate Fridays.
All together?
Some of the other days are more expensive than that because it depends on the ridership. If it's fewer students, then the bus drivers come back and it does come up.
What's your pleasure, folks?
So what are you recommending to us?
The one that was handed out with the 1.15 increase in the levy, the cutting or decrease of, was it 47.5?
47.5.
I think it's important to maintain the maintenance. I don't think the savings of 0.2% is worth being branded as yet another board who refuses to take care of the building. So I think it's important to get that money back in there.
So the question before us is whether we
whether we go contingency or whether we go with one of these revised budgets.
The one that we would recommend, or I would recommend at this time, would be the one at 1.15 increase on the levy. And again, there's advantages and disadvantages of doing whichever one we do, but emphasizing if we do go to a contingency, the biggest issue will be public use of the building and not. If we were to have charged for public use in the past, we could charge on a contingent budget. Since we never did, we cannot charge on a contingent budget. So the public could not use the facility, the grounds, or the building.
But you'll also lose all of your new
Program
enrichment programs.
No new programs at all. That would all be in
that
the
includes
budget.
Programs that may have been run 2 years ago, but not last year.
Correct.
On a contingent budget, that doesn't mean there's no tax increase.
Correct.
See, I think that's something we should explain to the public, because I think some of what I've heard out there, people think if they voted down the budget, there's no tax increase either. They don't
really. The contingent budget is 1.9.
1.92.
It would be a 1.9%.
So it would have been higher. A contingent budget is higher.
No, it would be an increase in the expenditures, no more than 1.92. So do you know how much that would be on the levy? I don't even know.
No, I don't.
It would still be an increase, but it would not be as much. Well, we'd have to cut because we did not. It goes budget to budget. And since we proposed an increase of about $450,000 initially. How much was the increase from last year? That's about 450.
No, last year, budget to budget?
Yep.
Was 700,000.
700,000.
Right,
okay.
4.11.
We would not have the same increase, but it still would be an increase.
I think it's also worth mentioning that we keep saying contingency budget. If we go with, right now, we don't have a contingency budget.
Correct.
We would have a contingency budget if once we decide where to come up with.
Right.
How much in cut?
300. About 305.
Yeah.
More.
Which, is there any way to get that without affecting
programs? No. We
would
have to affect some sort of program or staff.
So really our discussion is do we, and we had a request to go to contingency, I think, in the public, or no, we've had a request to just resubmit the budget.
Resubmit the same.
We did have someone mention it, to just go to contingency. What I like about this is it seems to be I think we're going to upset people either way. If we go to contingency, we're going to be, 300,000 in programs is just something I'm very reluctant to do after last year. If we just resubmit the budget I think we're really going to upset the voters who voted against it, which was a majority of the people who came out to vote. A small majority, but a majority nevertheless. This seems to respect what the voters are asking, which is get it lower.
And not affect program or staff.
And not affect program and staff, which I would guess is really what the faculty is concerned with. Not keeping things as it was, but making sure we don't affect programs and positions. Am I correct in that assumption? Mm-hmm. So, it seems that this it seems like it might work.
No, if we put it back out to vote at a 1.15 and it gets rejected again.
We have to go to a contingent budget.
So regardless of this.
You're only allowed two votes.
There's no third vote.
You're only allowed two votes, and since they standardized the initial vote, the second vote is on the third Tuesday in June, which will be the 21st.
Well, I'm in favor of the 1.15.
Howard?
Well, I know how I feel about a contingency budget because I don't like to see enrichment things being lost, and I think this is an exceptionally reasonable attempt to put something forthwith to the community that they can vote on. And I think it's also probably very important then to somehow make it known to the community exactly what we would lose should we have to go to a contingency budget, because a lot of people don't understand the way these budgets are put together. The 1.5% increase is, I think, a very good attempt on your and Beth's part to put together something that's reasonable and saves a lot of stuff for our school. And as I said before, I am firmly opposed to any staff cuts unless they can be rationalized in my mind. I absolutely will not support any of those. So this is one way of at least putting something reasonable to the community that I think they'll go for. I do.
And I agree with my colleagues, and I like the idea of putting us in a little bit better position to deal with the problems of next year, which will be legion. So how do we go about this legally?
You have to agree. The sheet that was handed out, all you have to do is you make a motion based on the total amount of the expenditures, which would be 17,720.
17,710,280.
Okay, let's see if I can do this off the cuff. I recommend approval of the following resolution, that we re-vote on the budget on the 21st of June, the 2011-12 budget, which will not exceed $17,710,280.
Second.
All those in favor, or any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let me talk to the people out there. Last time we lost by 6 votes, somebody could have made some phone calls. The people that didn't, need to. The people that did, thank you, do it again, if you feel it's important. So I'm going to put you guys on notice, too. You can't just show up at the polling place and your job is done. It's not the way it works. Sorry to yell at you, but I think we were shocked and chagrined on last week.
We also
did you agree to go for a vote?
We also have to accept the budget calendar.
This is just a time frame to get us to the next vote.
What? It is? I couldn't find it in the packet. She said it's in the packet.
It is.
Yeah, okay. Never mind. Sorry.
Do I have to read the whole thing?
No. Just say that, especially if it's in the packet.
Okay. I move approval of the 2011 budget revote calendar. Second. For discussion, let me just point out to the people out in the audience again that there will be several published notices. It's all legalese. But the bottom line is the 21st of June, 2011, is the budget revote, and I assume it will also be 12 to 8.
There will be a postcard that's mailed instead of the budget document that we normally do, because there isn't enough time to put that together. But, I mean, the mailing place.
The newsletter.
We will compile a normal budgetary document like we did the last time.
Available for you.
Where does this vote fall? Does this fall after the capital project vote again?
The capital project is June 29th, correct? June 29th, so it's a week before.
All those in favor?
Aye.
None opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. What is I all about this? Explain it to me before I read it.
These are the clerks.
And is there a list of them someplace so I can read their names?
They're in.
Okay, I recommend approval of the following people to be inspectors and clerks for the 21st of June 2011 vote. Be Lynn McNeil, Gail Fogle, Nancy Alexander, Yvonne Linz, and Linda Peters.
Second.
Second from Deb. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And we're all set, I think. We come to the second of two public comments. Gail.
Yeah, I was wondering if the superintendent could provide a list of the extracurricular activities that would be eliminated if the session budget does not get voted in, specifically soccer, the senior citizens who walk.
That would have to be something that, as a board, we would have to make the decision.
That would be a discussion item, Gail. That wouldn't be something we can just say right now, nor would
I'm
we want to.
I'm just putting it out there, just because I think a lot of people don't realize how it's going to get home if they don't vote.
No, there will be cuts. There will have to be cuts, but we just don't know where they would be. We'd have to hash that out.
No, I'm saying if it goes to contingency.
Right. We still have choices to make if it's a contingency budget.
Okay.
We can choose where the $300K comes from. Barb first. I saw her.
I think what Gail was trying to say is that, and I'm going to bring up something similar. Is I think you say it's up to us to make phone calls, and some of us did. I think it's imperative that the board, you're welcome, that the board and administration does their best to communicate. And and I don't think you're saying make up your mind now it's going to be cut, but let the people know that if this budget does not pass, don't just say contingency, but tell them what that really truly means. It means not using the school for anything, not for the senior citizens to do their exercise, not for whether it's balloon festival, they use the grounds to park on or throw the balloons up, whatever it is.
Those are the kind of things we can say, but we can't say which programs.
No, I know, but say that it could be.
Yes.
Say it might be football, it might be book club, it might be computer club, I don't know what even goes on.
We can't work that way, Barb. With all due respect, then it comes off as a threat. Contingency will be tough, but we can't say which programs. Yes, the school can't.
No, I know you can't say which ones, but you can give a list of what the programs are.
Well, you can name any sport. You can name you can name a lot of academic, some academic programs.
I'm not saying it's a threat. I think of it as information, and I think that's one of the reasons why the budget and the building proposition didn't pass in the first place. I don't think the people are really getting, the taxpayers are really getting the true picture. We go to contingency budget, the taxes don't get raised, which is not necessarily the case. And, you know, the kids don't get whatever. I don't think they truly, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking many people don't truly realize what it means. And if they say it might be whatever your child is enrolled in, might be gone. And that's all. We're not saying make a choice right this second, but just really get the word out to all the newspapers and to everybody so that when I make a phone call, I can tell them, honestly. And I'm not threatening anybody. I'm giving you the information that if this doesn't pass, X doesn't pass, Y, Z happens. Could happen.
There are legal things that we're going to be tied to if we go to contingency.
Exactly. There are some.
The budgetary issues is still a huge amount of money that, as Tom points out, as I said earlier, that doesn't exist yet. But can you go over the list of things that by law will result?
There are wide categories. Student supplies. We can't buy anything for students. It's a teacher supply, so now you're going to sit there and debate as to which is which. Obviously, the use of the buildings and grounds you can't use. There's
without,
certain salaries.
Without paying, right?
No,
no,
we can't even
pay.
Pay.
No,
We've never charged, so we can't start charging it.
No outside groups.
No outside groups at all. What did I say? No, there are certain salaries that the ones that are not involved in a contract.
That's what I'm talking about, those things. People can use the building if we pay. They can't use it even if they pay. No?
See, that's part of, and that we went round and round with our lawyer. The reason that some districts can still do that is because they have charged in the past.
No, I know. But the point is, I know that, you know that, but Mary Jo and Sally don't know that because they're not here. They're going to read in the paper, they're going to talk to somebody in service and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Oh, don't go for the budget, we'll be okay. It's just going to be a big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal.
Right. Kate put together a list of, I think, all the groups that would be impacted. It would be the Tour of the Bat Kill, the Balloon Fest,
yeah,
the walking program,
that,
youth soccer, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, there's a lacrosse, alumni basketball, something clusters. Yeah, so there's a huge impact.
Let me ask Mr. Canini a question. How do we do that kind of a document without sounding like we're trying to scare people?
We don't, as a school district.
Excuse me, folks, one person at a time, please. And Mr. Canini's got the floor.
As a school district, we can't come across and say, well, vote yes. And basically, that's what it boils down to. It's nice to do the listing, and that's why it's usually a generalization that people will not, outside organizations, I would assume, and this is probably a terrible assumption, an outside organization knows that who they are and they're not affiliated with the school, they just use our facilities. So it would be very difficult for us to sit there and say, well, vote, support the budget or these things won't happen, because then that's technically us campaigning for the support of the budget and we can't do that as a school district. Teachers Association, the Administrators Association, the CSEA, those groups can, but as a district, we can't be doing that. Yes.
Vince, as a taxpayer, can I get that list of the groups that are using
sure.
the school now? And then could I write a letter to the Eagle saying
sure.
my
If it comes as any individual, that's kind of like when we were doing the building project. There was an individual that was on the building committee that took an individual ad out. That's fine. But we as a school district could not take an ad out in the paper and say, please support the building project.
I'd be happy to do that. I mean, I just know that a lot of people even got the budget confused with the capital. I spoke to dozens of people who thought that.
There were numerous individuals that expressed that they thought they were voting again on the capital project.
Many people did.
Because of the similarity. Both were 17 plus million. I know people who thought they were voting on the capital project rather than the budget.
I was going to say that, but I thought it might sound bad, so I didn't say it. Thank you, John.
On that same note, the building project will be coming up a week or so later. So that's something that it'll be even more confusing because there'll be notices about the building project as well to try and keep that clear. I'm not sure the best way to do that.
The building timeline was set up.
I realize the time is.
We had a 40 to 45 day thing and all that. So that was before the budget went down.
I know. I don't know.
I know it's confusing.
Communicated the best somehow.
We have talked about that informally. We can't change either.
But to make it clear the day of the voting, we will try, but
as several people pointed out.
We'll try to do that when we do the mailing.
Because I think people, even as they were going into vote, so maybe if they show up, this is
what
budget, this is not building project. I'm not sure. Very straightforward.
Sue.
Tom, are absentee ballots available for the vote on the 21st?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it might be a good idea to put that on that little postcard that you're talking about, Vince, to send home, because I heard from people in the community didn't realize that they could actually get an absentee ballot for voting, and it might have been the difference the last time.
There have been advertisements for that. I understand what you're saying. Somebody did come in and say they don't have a computer and they didn't read the newspaper, which we advertised for the absentee ballots. They wanted on the budget document that's sent home.
Right.
And we're going to do that, so we can do that on the postcard.
No, we can't, though, because it has to out after the budget hearing. So I don't think the timelines will work this time.
Okay.
So we'd have to do it, like, maybe through a press release, because the budget document, that postcard only goes out.
Then it gets us right back to the same complaint the person had that came in the day before.
We can do it in next year's newsletter, because there's so much more time. But now when they're with the cramped timeline. And the mailing can't go out till after the budget hearing. The budget hearing, it has to be within that 7 to 14 day window. But the absentee ballots are available. We can put it on it.
It'll be a very small window if it goes. We can do it.
We can do it.
I just.
Right.
Thinking proactively, like, let's say the budget passes, can we charge just like $20 for someone to use the facility so in the future, if we go contingency, you have it?
The board would have to make that determination, but yeah, and the board can do whatever they want, but usually it depends on what facility you need and how much custodial time is associated with that.
But isn't that part of the policy manual?
That could be part. It would be a board policy.
Yeah, we are redoing the whole policy manual. It's one of our board goals to get it done the next 2 years, and I remember when we did it 15 or 16 years ago, whenever that was, 17 years ago, that was a big discussion then, and that's when it was made official that there's no charges. So it can be revisited, although I think it's very popular that there are no charges. It helps out a lot of groups, so I think, speaking for myself, I'd be very reluctant to change that. I understand where you're coming from, but I'd be reluctant to change that.
It's not such a big deal, but the budget vote's going to be at the bus garage then, because that's Regents Week.
We're talking about doing it in the music room.
Oh,
so it has exterior entrance into the building, and they won't have to.
So they won't have to come into the school.
One of the music rooms. I don't know which one.
Gary,
you guys know about that.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm glad you changed the budget and not just resubmitted it. I think you make enough no votes go yes just by showing some changes. I just think the board was shown arrogance if you had just submitted the budget right back out to the general public again and not make any changes. You're just throwing us the same stuff, so I applaud you for making some changes, and I think it'll pass.
Applaud these two folks. They came up with the numbers.
Excellent.
Lillian.
1.15% is a tax levy, and I don't know how you do that, but what does that mean? Is it a 1% increase? It's not a 1% increase in your tax.
It should be.
Right, it's a 1.15% increase on the tax levy.
Whatever you pay.
But what did that come out to as?
It depends on the star and stuff.
Right, depends on the star. Before, initially it was a 23 cent per thousand increase. We've decreased that to a 14 cents per thousand of assessed value on a home.
14 cents.
14 cents.
So on $100,000
home. So the true value will be $12.78. So on a $100,000 home, it's going to be $1,278. That's before STAR. And that is also assuming last year's equalization rates, because that information is not available until late July, early August. So that always impacts your taxes as well.
And if the contingency budget was doing, what would that be?
We don't know
that. It's somewhere under 0.5%, right?
Right, yeah.
Somewhere under half, that's the best you can do right now. That's an inexact number, don't hold me to that, please. Ronnie.
I have a question on a completely different topic. I understand that there was some reconstruction in the bus garage over the last year. They built a new office for some of the administrative staff, is that correct?
There was a wall that was put up.
Can you give us an estimate of what the cost was for that the total project?
What? Do you have any idea?
Probably $400 to $500.
Okay, I'm getting tired. Anybody else tired? Any other questions? Thank you very much for the good questions and the good behavior. Thank you. I move we adjourn. All those in favor?
Can I move the bench?